Wind über seinen Gesetz Tag und Nacht.
Er ist wie ein Baum, gepflanzt an den Wasserbächen,
der seine Frucht bringt zu seiner Zeit. Amen. Herr, wir danken dir für dein Wort. Hey Jesus, wir danken dir, Herr, dass du in diesen Tagen zu uns redest. Oh, hey Jesus, wir danken dir, Herr, dass du uns allen etwas zeigen möchtest. Gib uns auch noch einmal offene Herzen und Ohren für dein Sprechen, Herr. Wir wollen dich hören, Herr. Wir wollen dich in deinem Wort berühren und auch lernen, dich darin zu essen und zu trinken, Herr. Amen. Ja. Ich kann auch nur dem Herrn danken, dass wir hier sind und so eine Zeit haben,
in der wir
uns, glaube ich, auch entschieden haben, viele Dinge mal abzuschalten und die Ohren einzuschalten für das Sprechen des Herrn. Ich bin dem Herrn wirklich dankbar, dass es immer wieder so eine Gelegenheit gibt und dass es bis heute noch so eine Gelegenheit gibt. Lob den Herrn. Und sein Wort ist einfach kostbar. Es ist mir in der letzten Zeit immer wieder aufgefallen oder ich immer wieder die Freude gehabt, wenn ich etwas gehört habe von seinem Wort, in seinem Wort. Wenn der Herr zu uns spricht durch sein Wort, das ist was ganz Besonderes. Wir sind nicht hier, um in erster Linie ein Thema zu bearbeiten in der Bibel. Letzte Konferenz waren wir in Offenbarung am Anfang, nächstes Thema Offenbarung am Ende. Und danach überlegen wir, was wir noch so machen könnten. Nein, wir wollen hören, was der, das sagt auch die Offenbarung, was der Geist den Gemeinden zu sagen hat. Und das ist was ganz Besonderes, wenn der Geist anfängt zu sprechen. Ich glaube, wir alle haben das schon erfahren. Im Kleinen und in großen Dingen. Der Herr zeigt uns was. Wir haben diese Verse so oft gelesen. Mein Bruder hat es auch gerade nochmal bestätigt. Der Geist hat in Offenbarung 22 dem Johannes etwas gezeigt. Er hat den Johannes, wir würden vielleicht in unseren Worten heute sagen, berührt. Sagen wir oft, der Herr hat mich berührt. Hat der Herr schon etwas angerührt in uns in diesen Tagen? Ich glaube, der Herr möchte wirklich etwas anrühren in dieser Zeit. Dass er uns so deutlich zu diesem Baum des Lebens und zu dem Strom des Wassers des Lebens hinführt, hat ganz bestimmt eine Intention. Wisst ihr, wenn Gott etwas zeigt, dann zeigt er es nicht nur einfach so, um uns irgendwas zu zeigen, um uns zu beeindrucken, uns irgendeine neue Sache in seinem Wort zu erläutern. Wenn Gott zu uns spricht, wenn der Herr zu uns redet, dann möchte er nämlich, dass das, was er spricht, auch geschieht. Haben wir im 1. Mose 1 gesehen, schon in den Versammlungen.
You have seen in Genesis 1, when God created the earth, through his word, he spoke a word and there was light. That is great whenever the Lord speaks to us. That means he would like to see that very thing become real in our life. I have got a verse that I've read a few times in the past days. In its Deuteronomy 32, verse 46, in Moses' prayers at the end of his life, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command to your children, and be careful to observe all the words of this law, for it is not a futile thing to you, because it is your life. God's word is great, wonderful, it's mighty and powerful, and everything that is was made by the word. And when the Lord speaks to us today, and we notice that the Lord touches something, then we can be certain that the Lord, he speaks to us in order to accomplish something in our life. The word needs to have an impact on our life. So we do not just want to speak about the word, but it's my desire that this word should come into my life, and that something should happen through his living word. The word is living and effective. We have been in two verses in Revelation 22 for quite a long time, and we are very often impressed how the Lord can speak in a small portion, focusing us on the picture of the tree of life and of the river of the water of life. We fellowshiped about this in the morning, and we have also seen that it is so precious to live in a time where we can eat of the tree of life and drink of the river. Sometimes I have the impression that everything has already been said, but I have the liberty to stress it again. It is not about how often we have heard it, but it's always about the Lord's burden, what he has on his heart. And he has got a burden that he wants to introduce into our life, not just into my head, saving it in my memory. No, he wants to put it into practice in the church life. As we have just read in Psalm 1, that speaks about the tree of life. But if you have been reading carefully, you have noticed that that is related to us, to our life and walk. There we have got a tree. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. And the one who meditates, who delights in the law of the Lord, he is so closely linked to the tree of life, to the extent that he becomes the tree of life himself. It has become precious to me in the past two meetings. God's plan on the earth, he starts it in a garden. That's the best place to start whatever you want to do. And the garden is a pleasant place, a very pleasant place. And right in the center of that garden, there is the tree of life. The whole garden is just about and for the tree of life. What is the focus, the center of our Christian life? It is all about myself, my worries, is my concerns, or is it about the tree of life and the river of life? That is the type of growth the Lord would like to see in us and in the church He is building, that everything should be focused on the tree of life and the river of the water of life. The spirit and the tree of life are the very center of the church life. Like the tree of life was planted in the middle of the Garden of Eden, it is not a theme garden having certain corners for special varieties and then another variety for another taste, and then there is another corner behind where you've got the tree of life. No, the very focus of the garden, the center, is the tree of life. And there are two trees. There's another one close by. So it's all about our decision. In God's plan, our own decision is crucial. Our decision in favor of life. And that will never change. And that is why that tree is there growing throughout all the ages, going right through the scriptures. Eating and drinking of the tree of life is also something you can find throughout the whole scripture, from the beginning to the end. Looking at the picture in Revelation 22, it's my desire to be there. There God's plan can be accomplished, and the new Jerusalem can come down to the earth. What God has prepared for so long is finished. And there we find the tree of life and the river of the water of life. So we are well advised today to make sure that we are right there where there's the tree of life. To keep our eyes set on the tree of life. And we're also on a street, on a pathway. The way, our pathway with the Lord, is not a broad way, as the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 7. The way is broad, leading to corruption, but the way leading to life is narrow. So we are wise to make sure that we are always in connection with the tree of life. In our daily life, I want to remain closely connected to the Lord. I want to be a person who has a habit of eating of the tree of life. If we preserve this habit, I would say that is a very a good condition to be there in the end where the Lord is. If we know how to access the tree of life and we also do it, so where will we be when the Lord will return to the earth and when He will complete His testimony? Then the Lord will be able to take us. If we are already right there and if we remain there consistently, then we have the best condition, we fulfill the condition to reach the goal. There is one way. In the city, in Revelation 22, or even before in chapter 21, the city is described with precious stones, pearls as gates. And there's just one street in that city. There are not a number of streets. Seek, find your own street. each one having its own name in Berlin. We have so many streets with streets consecrated to so many famous people. But in the New Jerusalem, there's just one street. And on this street, there is the river of the water of life. If we want to walk on that street, we need to seek for the river of the water of life. And if we have found it, then we are on the good way, we're on the right track. It doesn't mean that if we have enjoyed the Lord and found him one time, that doesn't mean that there will be no more problems and everything will turn out good. No, it is a river that needs to become deeper and deeper, as we have read. It is a life that has to grow in us. Our God is a God of life. He is living. He is the living God. Who could say such a thing? Our God is unique, and he is living, and he has also made us alive. Let's remember that we were made alive in our spirit when we received the Lord Jesus. We were also made alive. Then a new life has started in me, in every one of you, all those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ started living in you.
Der Herr sagt es zu dem Nikodemus im Johannesevangelium, dass er unbedingt, wenn er das Reich Gottes sehen möchte.
The Lord, he told Nicodemus in John 3 that he had to be born again in order to enter the kingdom. You have to be born again, to be born of water and of spirit. And that is what happened when we received the Lord. Then a new life was born, and it was confirmed by baptism. If you have not yet been baptized, then take this step. That is the beginning. A new birth and a new life comes into us. We know what life is. We are here because we are alive, and we know what it means to be alive as a human being. But are we also conscious of the fact that the life of Christ also has some needs? The Spirit in us would like to grow and spread. He does not want us to stop at the beginning. So we see in Revelation 22 that the Lord wants to grow and produce something glorious in us. And so the life we have received needs some supply. You won't be surprised if I tell you that you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to exercise, to move. Eating and drinking regularly, that is quite normal for us, as we are used to live in our body and we have been doing it for years. But sometimes I think that we are not that much conscious of that, the same for our spiritual life. It also needs food, like a small child, a toddler, a baby needs to be fed. Do we notice this, and do we also do it? I think we have to recover the spiritual eating. Since the Lord is showing us the tree of life with so much impetus, I think we should listen. I think the Lord would like to recover something in us. Drink of that river of life. Eat of the tree of life. And it's not a requirement. I must eat. No, it's not a requirement. On the contrary, when we are hungry, it's a pleasure to eat. And I think we should recover this if we have known the Lord for a long time and have known the church life and we have fellowshipped about the tree of life for a long time. That is not the point. No matter whether we are young believers and we were just born again as Christians, it is the same for everyone, the same need for all the believers. I would say it's just normal. It's a need for the believers to be nourished spiritually, to feed the life in us, to make sure it can grow and that it has an impact. When the Lord was on the earth, he expressed the living God. Wherever he was, whether he spoke or didn't say anything, there was power going out of him. A woman, she was sick and she just had to touch his garment and there was some strength that went out to her.
Johannes 6, Vers 35, das haben wir gelesen.
That is what the Lord says in John chapter 6. I recommend to read John 4, 5 and 6 again. That is like a feast. Like a table set before us. We just should help ourselves. John 6, the Lord says, I am the bread of life. Jesus, he was standing there saying, not saying, I'm going to give you the bread or I'm going to explain you certain things. No, he was just standing there saying, I am the bread of life. Eat me. It's surprising how often he repeats that. One verse, 48, I am the bread of life. And later on, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Jews couldn't understand. It's not easy to understand. Our human mind cannot grasp it. And they also asked, how can we eat you? The Lord still shows us the same today. I am the bread of life. And we see there is a fruit of the tree of life. And so it's important to eat Jesus Christ. We may have an idea what that means or no idea what it means. The Jews, they didn't have any idea. They even left when they heard the word. It was too hard on them. When the Lord tells you, eat me, it's up to us whether we would want to try or whether we prefer to go away. Even those who have already tried and those who would probably answer, well, I know what it means to eat the Lord. I know what it means to have breakfast. I know what it means to prepare me a sandwich. But I will still need it again tomorrow morning and the next day also. In the same way, we need the Lord as our supply every day until the eternity. It will never change. I don't know what it will be like in the future, in eternity, but it is important to eat the Lord today. I would like to point out how important it is, how good it is, how pleasant and satisfying it is to eat the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have already received everything required to do it. We do not need to plant the tree of life, nor do we have to release the river of the water of life. It is there. We only need to come. I'm always reminded of Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord was in the wilderness. The Lord, he was fasting. He had not eaten for 40 days, and the enemy tempted him. That was very cunning, after not having eaten for a long time. And then that's right the moment when the enemy comes in. Because the enemy, he observes and knows our spiritual condition. So he observes whether we are spiritually fed. And if we are undernourished spiritually, he would just wait for the right moment, and then he comes in, and he even tempted the Lord. But the Lord's answer is so precious in Matthew 4:4. Satan recommended him to make these stones to become bread. He was hungry, and he has the authority, and he could prove what he can do. But the Lord is so wise. In that moment even, he was so clear that he answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every man that proceeds from the mouth of God." Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word of God is bread for our inner man. The whole Bible is food for us. God's word is also history, revealing God's wisdom, his plan, prophecies, pointing to the future, which are already fulfilled. It also has a lot of good advice for your Christian life, a lot of good things. But the foundation for our spiritual life is to know the word as food. If we don't know the word as our food supply, then the enemy has so many possibilities. Then all the doors are open for the enemy to creep in. The enemy also uses the word, but we need to know the word as food and know the Lord Jesus in the word. We have to touch the Lord in his word as spirit and life. As we see in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. If we touch the Lord in the Word, then we touch more than mere words, but we touch Spirit and life. We touch the spirit of life. We touch the fruit that is growing there. The spirit, the fruit of the spirit that is the spirit for whom we need a sense.
Ich möchte zu dir kommen, sagt der Herr auch im Johannes.
We need to have the antenna to. The Lord told the scribes, the Pharisees, you search the scriptures. Isn't that good to search the scriptures? Do we also search the scriptures? It's good also to search the scriptures. There is much to search and to discover. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me. We may have heard that so often. I have heard it so often. But I need to be reminded to come to him.
Zu ihm kommen. Das Wort ist so eine wunderbare Speise für uns.
The word is wonderful, a wonderful food for us.
Vom Geist her redeten Menschen, von Gott her.
The Lord has prepared the scriptures throughout centuries, and holy people were speaking, motivated by the Spirit. So the word is equipped with the Spirit. But now we need the right attitude when we come to the word. An attitude that is focused on Jesus Christ. Whenever we come to the word, let's tell the Lord, Lord, I want to come to you. I would like to eat your word. It has been a while that I've not eaten, but now I want to come to you. I would like to read the word together with you. Read together with me. I'm not reading alone, but I'm reading with you, and I want to touch you in the word. That is what brings us to the main thing, the Lord and the life-giving Spirit. When we meet the same, it's not just, well, attending the meeting or going to the church meeting, to the church. Forget about that. We rather come to him. Let's rather say we want to come to Jesus together. We not only come to watch what is happening, but we actively come to him. If I am invited for lunch at Emmanuel's place and then I have to come to him. It's not possible to contact him on Skype or Zoom. He can be such an excellent cook that doesn't help me. I have to go to his place and sit down at his table. The Lord has created our body in a similar way as he made our inner man. And so, spiritually speaking, we need to come to the Lord. It's an important habit we should build up, to come to the word and come to Jesus at the same time. That is why I put in the outline a good habit. We should build up this habit. Without this habit, it's not possible. Who among you doesn't have the habit of eating? Probably some may eat twice, others three times. The quantities may vary, the tastes vary. But we all have such a habit. And similarly, we need a habit to take the word and to reserve time. I have read recently that Germans, in average, use 1 hour, 43 minutes just for the meals every day. we take this time for our meals every day. Well, other cultures, they need more time. In the southern European countries, that's only enough time for a snack. Recently, we went to an Italian restaurant, a restaurant with some saints, and there is an ambience, there is a lot of time to eat. Do you want a starter and a dessert? It's nice, and it's pleasant to spend time and to enjoy a meal. We were created that way, and our inner man is also made in the same way. We need time together and alone. To eat alone is also good, but eating together is more pleasant, and the food may taste better. In the past weeks, we took more time also at home with my wife, take some time to read in the Word together, and it's a benefit. It's nothing great, but it's a benefit, and it produces much fruit. So we should adopt this habit. I would like to compare again with our physical food. If I'm invited at Emmanuel's place, that doesn't mean that I want to invite myself. Well, still, I would like to come to your place. If I come for breakfast, I probably find a basket full of bread rolls. I prefer the spelled bread rolls. The Lord has also provided manna, small and round, heavenly bread, small, round, nice, tasty. How can we get it? How can we get this food supply? We have just to help ourselves. In the spiritual realm, very often I find that I have some reservation. I have restrained from just helping myself. The word is much more helpful if I add some faith. That is what I've noticed. We read the same in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that the word did not help them, because they didn't mix it with faith. It's important to mix the word with faith. We hear the word also when we are in the meeting. We can hear the word, and that's good. We need it. But just listening, that's one thing. If I'm sitting at the breakfast table just observing the bread rolls or smelling that they taste nice, that's also a pleasure, but I have to help myself. Faith is the same, like helping myself, taking a verse and making my own, not letting the bread roll in the basket, and then in the end another one picks it and eats it, and I have got one. We do not have for a wrong reservation. Let's tell the word. I believe you, and I believe that this verse also applies to me today. In Revelation, we have read, I saw. The Lord showed him. We can start this way. Lord, I believe you. You also want to show me something. That is how we can start applying the word together with the Lord. And that makes a difference. It's different from just listening and considering, asking, did he use the right words? Wasn't that too much? Why does this brother speak again and not another one? Let's just help ourselves. In the church, we have room to exercise our faith. I would like to encourage the young saints. Just do it like you do it at the breakfast table. I'm sure you're all growing, or you're fully grown, so I conclude from that that you have been eating regularly, and well, a small child, you still have to feed the child or help him cutting his bread roll and prepare it as putting a spread on it. But we do not want to remain little children waiting to be served and then just seeing whether we like it or not. You have to make seek some food for yourself. Start to seek for yourself. Also in the meeting, it's a good place to exercise. There's so much available, like the people of Israel. They only had to walk out in the wilderness and they could collect the manna, which was lying everywhere. Very often in the meeting, I have the impression there is so much word available. There are Bibles everywhere when you enter, but that is one thing. You open your ears when you come in, then you hear how the word is spoken. It's important just to grasp the word and speak it. Sometimes if I think I have to mix it with faith, but I haven't got faith, but well, the Lord is wonderful. Recently we fellowshipped. And we have seen that the Lord has given us like precious faith. And he has given us the word. What else? Romans 10. How does faith begin? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. When we hear, then faith begins. And then there's a trick. We also have a mouth. We need our mouth to eat. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word should be in our mouth, brothers and sisters. It should not remain in the covers of the Bible. It should be in our mouth. That is the right place for the word, and when we speak it, when it comes out of our mouth, it gets into our ears. And that is how we can strengthen our faith ourselves. Sometimes the saints sitting next to us strengthen our faith, but sometimes we can strengthen our faith ourselves. Speak the word, read it, just read a verse aloud, and that makes a difference. That is the very moment when we put the bread roll into our mouth.
Und auch noch mehr werden. Plötzlich macht sich nämlich was breit in unserem Mund, nämlich ein Geschmack.
Then all of a sudden there is a nice taste in our mouth. It's only with our mouth that we can taste, not with my hands nor with my thoughts. I need my mouth. The same with the words of God. It tastes so good. Just mix the word with faith, make it into a prayer. No need to consider what should I pray. If we do not know what to pray, we just take the word. That's the best prayer, and it satisfies us. It gives us food for our inner man. And then our inner man can grow. And then you notice it tastes good. Like the psalmist, they experience the same. When I read from persons who were living hundreds of years ago, and then I read, for example, Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 8. He speaks about the law. That's not something attractive for us. In our home, we have got law books in our apartment, which I do not find too interesting. It's full of prescriptions and rules, but the word is sweet, sweeter than honey. The word tastes good, and we've read in 1 Peter that we should be hungry, zealous, like newborn babes. I cannot taste for you. I cannot explain to you what it tastes like. It's impossible. You can describe some the savor, but that's not to be compared with the reality. We have to taste by ourselves. And once we have tasted that the Lord is good, we do not want anything else.
Und nichts bringt am Ende. Noch so erscheinen lassen, dass es so toll schmeckt. Ja. Geschmacksverstärker, das ist so.
Around us there are so many flavor enhancers you can put into the food and it seems to be tasty. These are products some people use in the food. I think the flavor enhancers, they are not very healthy, and in addition, I lose a taste for the real thing. And we need to have the taste of the Lord. The Lord tastes sweeter than honey. It's not an emotion. And eating the word is not a form. It's not about imitating others. Forget about that. That would be just be a flavor enhancer, like a chewing gum, imitating others. No, what we want is the Lord Jesus himself, and then we want the same tomorrow, and it will have an impact in our life.
Dann ist das nicht nur ein. Es ist keine Methode, die wir hier im Gemeinde.
Eating the Lord is not a method we practice in the church life. It's not something that would just excite us for a while. If everybody does it, it makes a special atmosphere. That is not what we mean. Not at all. But it is about receiving the Lord, taking him into us, experience the word of life, becoming part of us, and that will transform us. If we eat the Lord constantly, persistently, our life and behavior will be changed as a result. In John 6, 57, the Lord says that those who eat him will also live by him. And the Lord, he wants us to be part in his plan and purpose. He would like to transfer some responsibility to us to complete his purpose, his plan. So that means he wants the food to transform us, to change us. And also when we testify about the Lord to others, it will also become our food. Like the Lord, he was sharing, speaking, testifying to that Samaritan woman. She was at the well, and he spoke to her about the Spirit and compared the Spirit to a well. And then the disciples afterwards, they ask him, "You have not yet eaten?" And he replies in John 4:32, "I have food to eat, of which you do not know." And 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That is the result, the outcome.
Darum geht es nicht. Diese Speise ist etwas, was beständig in uns etwas verändern wird.
The food, the spiritual food, will change something permanently in us and also produce God's expression, also his expression in the church. The Lord wants to finish his work. He also wants to finish his city, the New Jerusalem. So it's very important to know this food in the church life and enjoy it permanently. It is a joy. We will never lack. The supply will rather increase. I have also written a verse in Malachi where God, he says, that they should bring the food to his house. Speak the word, speak the spirit you experience, and that will bring riches to the Lord's house. And this is about God's testimony that will make God's testimony living and fresh. It's getting late and there is still the point drinking of the water, of the river, of the water of life. The Lord is balanced. There is eating and there is drinking. Drinking is even easier. And it's so much necessary to drink regularly that makes us healthy, as we can see in Ezekiel 47, wherever the river flows, everything is healed. There are salty seas around the Dead Sea. You cannot drink of it. Sometimes we also may feel a bit salty, dissatisfied. That is the right time to drink and to call on the Lord's name. That is the key. I must testify that it's my experience just to open your mouth and call, "Lord Jesus." That is a cup of salvation, as it says in Psalm 16, "I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." That will heal us, make our thinking healthy. We can do that 1,000 times every day. As it says in one of our hymns, the salty water. Do you know why water is salty, why the sea is salty? Did you ever ask you this question, because no water flows out of it. So much flows in, but nothing flows out. And then much water evaporates. There is no balance. Water coming in permanently, and then the salt is deposited, and the dirt particles. We do not want to be a salty water. We can speak something out, call on the name of the Lord, and it will make us healthy.